are listening to Book Nerds. Hello and welcome to episode number 13 of the Pod Nuts podcast, the podcast where we talk about, well, books. We do listen to them in audiobook format, but you can read along however you like. It really doesn't matter. Even Braille, if that's your thing.
I can't even read Braille.
Yeah, speaking of Braille, I got a friend with me that I can probably read about as much Braille as him because I can actually count to five in Braille. And he might be able to go higher. Don't know. I might be talking smack here. But again, my co-host, as always, Mr. Jonathan Nadeau.
Hello. Thank you for having me on, Tracy.
No, this is yours just as much as mine. Thank you for having me on. So can you count to five in Braille?
Yeah, I can. Well, I haven't read Braille since I graduated high school. But while I was learning Braille in high school, I got up to a fourth or fifth grade level of reading. Braille has its uses, but I mean, this day and age, you know, there's some hardcore blind, you know, Braille literary people that say all blind people must learn how to read Braille. It has its place. I don't necessarily know if every blind person really needs it this day and age. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I guess that's a topic for another podcast. But the thing I don't like about Braille is actually numbers and letters, because what happens is, if for letters, let's say if you take the letter A in Braille, if you picture like a six pack of soda with the two rows of three going up and down, the letter A, if you see one dot at the top left-hand corner, just that one dot, that's the letter A. Now, what happens is, if you want to do a number, they put a symbol before the number, and then instead of it being the one, you know, you'd assume maybe like, okay, letter A would be number one. That's true in a sense. Instead of being the top left-hand corner, though, the number one would be in the middle on the left-hand side. So between the top and the bottom, you know, scan, so to speak. So it can be really deceptive if you're reading. You might think it's the letter A, but it's really number one. So it can be tricky.
Okay. I think Braille would be cool if I'm at a place where I just didn't care and I could be reading something and no one would know.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be cool. But one thing, I think when they first invented Braille, I really, really wish they would have got together with the people that do Morse code and just did the same, whereas you got dots and dashes. Yes, because most fingers can tell the difference, I do believe.
Sure.
And I think that would have been really good. You would have, I'm talking, you know, late 1800s when this was coming out. You would have 100% had, back in a time where if you were blind, you were pretty destitute. You were relied on everybody, probably in a state home a lot of times,
right, yeah,
too.
Yeah.
You would have had a job. No ifs, no ands, no buts. If they would have just worked that way together, you'd have seen blind people in every telegraph person across America. And during every wartime, you'd start seeing them everywhere also for that. So hindsight, I think that would have been kind of cool.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I definitely totally agree with that, because even when I first started reading Braille, I was just like, this could have been done better. Like, I mean, yeah, it works, and you know, obviously it was needed, but I totally agree with what you said. I think that would have been really useful, because you would have been killing two birds with one stone then at that point.
Exactly. Well, we're going to quit BSing like this and get on to the next episode. But before I begin, I do want to say, if there's a weird pause in this that doesn't make sense, I wasn't thinking. I threw a loaf of bread in the oven. Yeah, well, I make my own bread. Yeah. But so the timer's going to go off, and I'm just going to be kind of gone for a little bit. So while I go take it out of the oven.
It was St. Patrick's Day yesterday, and we had Irish soda bread.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I've had that. Yeah, my St. Patrick's Day was celebrated. If you listen to this, we're recording ahead a little bit, obviously, by the time you get this. Was celebrated with some pork fried rice, extra spicy.
Nice.
Last night I did partake in an adult beverage. I did have Franconia Brewery. is a brewery here in North Texas. So I had one of his Hefeweizen, which is really good.
Was it you that got door hooked on those Hefeweizens?
Yes. Hefeweizen is a wheat beer, in case you don't know. And this, the brewery I'm talking about, Franconia, he's actually from Germany. His whole family's in a brewery. He came here to kind of, quote, make it on his own. And so it's his. This is just like you get in Germany, just like I was stationed there. This is all natural, not carbonated. It's naturally carbonated, I should say. It's not CO2. Everything's just like you get it in Germany. So check out Franconia Brewery if you're in the North Texas area. It's starting to go around Texas more. It's good stuff.
Hefeweizen, like Dora was explaining, it's a very down to the basics kind of beer. Like you're talking, you know, water, wheat, like very few ingredients, right?
Yeah, he believes in, well, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. There's a German purity law where you can basically have your grain. And for a while, wheat wasn't even allowed. It was just barley, water, and hops. And the fourth ingredient was added yeast when they understood yeast. And then they added wheat. The reason they didn't add wheat right away was they didn't want people, because people actually like the wheat beer better, and they didn't want to waste it for beer. They wanted to make sure they had enough for bread.
Ah, okay.
So they kind of loosened that. But he does abide by that, where it's just those ingredients. He will make some IPAs. He will make some other stuff. But he's pretty much a traditionalist, and you can tell. And it doesn't mean boring beer at all. Everything he makes is great.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. All right. Again, enough of all that. Let's get into the book here. Today's one, most people are probably going to be able to go along with us without really reading the book, because we're going to review Star Wars, The Force Awakens, the book. Actually, the movie that just came out, Star Wars, this is actually the book on that. It's by Alan Dean Foster. And this was made at the same time as the movie, so this does follow along the movie lines.
Yeah, they used they stayed close to like the script of the movie, it seems like, so.
Yeah, so this might be one you don't have to read. If you're a Star Wars fan, you're probably going to want to read it, but yeah, so it was, start off, this was a good book. I am a Star Wars fan, but as most people know, some people throw stuff at me. I'm more of a Trekkie than a Star Wars person, but that's nor here nor there. But this book does follow the movie guidelines. Now, have you seen the movie?
I have not. Have you seen it?
Yes, I have. I actually saw it twice. Not because I was like, ooh, me and my wife went to it. And then we went out to dinner the next night with friends of ours. And they said they really wanted to go to a movie. And they wanted to go to Star Wars. So we said, oh, we'll see it again. You know, so we go out. So we actually saw it two nights in a row.
Okay.
So, yeah, no details. One thing about this book, I'm going to be straightforward. It'll be almost impossible for us to talk about the book in a spoiler. This is one we're going to break from that. We're just going to talk about the book as a whole.
Okay, that sounds good.
It'll be almost impossible for break it up, since most people have seen the movie. And if you haven't, that's fine. Then go read the book, listen to the movie before you continue on right here.
So, before we talk about the book, though, I wanted to, like, my son saw the movie, but he didn't read the book. But you've now read the book and seen the movie. Is it like when I was talking before, is the book pretty close to the movie then?
Yes, it's real close.
Okay.
There's a couple scenes here and there, things are said that are a little different that they could not do in the book, because the movie obviously has picture displays of stuff.
Sure.
Where they don't. Personally, I enjoyed the book more than the movie, I liked the movie. That's going to be almost everything. Even if this was a good movie now, I thought too. So I'm not just saying, but I think any book's going to be better than the movie, even if they're identical, because you have the imagination going for you, which helps out a little bit. And one reason I liked the book was, even after watching the movie twice, I still caught a couple things the first time, like, oh, okay. And the book I read after I saw it, I picked up more stuff. So I think I'm better off going into the next one after this because it just got a little more detail for me.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, when I started reading it and I noticed it was, you know, they said it was based off of, you know, the script and everything. I started talking to my son. I said, hey, you know, did this happen in the movie? Did that happen in the movie? And we were kind of talking back and forth. And I was just like, oh, this book sounds pretty close to the movie. So I was like, if the movie is anything like the book, I'm a fan of the movie.
Yeah. There are some differences. I'm not going to say, oh, it's the script for script. No, there is some differences. But as a whole, the story's the same. It is pretty much all the major scenes are the same. Some minor scenes are a little different, but doesn't affect the story at all. Okay. And the reason they have, and I can see why the movie can do stuff the book can't, and the book can do stuff the movie can't.
Right.
So that is why that, and that'll make sense if you saw the movie and you read the book, but one is one for this here. It's all, I should say, quote, virtually the same.
Okay. So I guess let's get into it. How does the book start off?
Okay. Well, it obviously starts off, as a whole with, I forgot his name, but
is it Finn?
No, not Finn. He is one of the prized fighters for the rebels.
I'm forgetting his name now. I know what you're talking about.
Basically,
Finn was the other guy.
Yes. Basically, he lands and they're trying to find Luke Skywalker, basically. And he's going to a place where they found some little thing where it adds to another piece that you find out later that where he might be, because Luke Skywalker just kind of disappeared. No one's really seen, and he's been gone for so long some people actually think he's a myth, and he was a myth.
Yeah,
that he was just kind of made up for, you know, people to believe into something.
Yeah, because I think this is like roughly 30 years after Return of the Jedi.
Yes, about 30 years, about, you know, about the same as real life.
Right.
but maybe a little less to the book compared to the real life, but yeah, it's about the same.
Yeah, because that's gonna bug me now that I forgot that character's name. But he flew to the planet and where basically there was an R, not an R2, you know, DBA or DB8 was the name of it. It was basically like the newer kind of version of an R2 unit. It sounded like.
Yes. Did you see the description of him in the book, or should I describe him to you so you might know the difference? Because you remember like R2-D2.
Yeah.
Basically, the new one is like, think of two spheres. Where the top sphere has a little dent in it, so it sits on the bottom sphere.
Okay.
And the bottom sphere can roll any direction, and the top just stays on top.
I see. Okay. So yeah, it's like the newer version of R2-D2.
Yeah, that's it exactly.
Yeah, because so that character was, he was going to, he was picking up the R2 unit because he found out it had, you know, a data that they were looking for, like, which they were basically thinking this was like the missing piece to the puzzle to find Luke Skywalker.
Exactly. Yep. So it goes on where BB-8, as in Boy 8.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense naming it BB since it's like two balls, but yeah. So basically, the Empire comes down and basically kind of destroys the little village they're in, but BB has the little file and escapes. So I'm not going to go, we're just going to give a high level overview. And basically, when he escapes, he is found by, what's her name? Boy, my mind.
Ray.
Is found by Ray. And basically, to make a long story short, we can't talk about the whole thing, though. That'll ruin everything if you haven't. And we'll forget stuff and people get mad with us. Is basically meets up with, my mind is going blank today.
Now you're talking about Finn.
Yeah, not Finn. Boy, I'm sorry. Boy. So they basically meet up and
One thing to throw in is Finn is a stormtrooper that defects. He basically is a stormtrooper and decides, like, what am I doing? Yeah, I'm on the wrong side here. And he basically turns away from the Empire and tries to, in the long run, ends up, working with the rebellion instead.
Right. And all along the Empire, Kylo Ren is the new quote-unquote Darth Vader. He's actually the grandson of Darth Vader.
Right.
He is the son of, and I'll let you say that, who he's the son of.
Of Han and Leia.
Exactly. Kind of disowned by them too. So, and there's some kind of stuff going on between that through the whole thing there. But it basically is a story of them getting this information back to the rebels where they can try to find Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, I like too how they kind of worked Han Solo and Chewie back into the story too, because while Rey was on the planet that she was on, she was kind of like a scavenger on this planet. She ran into BB-8 with Finn, and they're trying to escape, and they basically essentially steal the Millennium Falcon without knowing that that's what it is. And they steal the Millennium Falcon, they get off planet, and there's a homing device on the Millennium Falcon. Han Solo, traces it down. Really, he finally finds it, and Han Solo finds them on the ship, and Rey and Finn are just mesmerized. They're like, "You're the Han Solo!" They heard all these stories about him, and they couldn't believe it was him and Chewie, and they were like, kind of like awestruck by being with him. So that was pretty cool how they kind of worked all that into the story.
Exactly. And I really like how Rey is, you're finding out she does have some of the force in her. And her lightsaber she actually gets actually belonged to Luke and Anakin Skywalker,
Right.
which I thought was pretty cool, kind of bring it all in together.
Yeah, it was cool how they were at that sort of like the typical sort of Star Wars, trashy kind of bar where all these, the kind of the outcasts of society hang out. They're at this bar, and all of a sudden she just kind of starts wandering around. She's like, "What?" She starts walking downstairs into this room, and it's almost like the lightsaber's calling her. And because it was in that room, and she went in there, and she like had all these like flashbacks like of stuff, like Luke training in with Yoda and like all this other stuff, and she didn't know what was going on, but it was like lightsaber was kind of like calling out to her, and she found it.
Yep, and you do see C-3PO and R2-D2 in this. They have a minor role, but they are there.
Yeah, yep.
One thing that always bothered me with Star Wars, and this is back to the original ones with the X-Wing fighters. When they show them fighting in space, now I can see this if they're fighting like in a planet, but when they're out in space, there's no gravity, there's no nothing. Why do they do banked turns? Why do they hear sounds like them cornering and stuff like that? That always drove me crazy. You know, they're out in space.
Yeah.
If I was building a space fighter, I think it would probably be a cube with a jet on each side. That would be the easiest logical way to move any direction fast. If there's no gravity, you're not going to have any G-force.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
So that I digress though, and I know I'm not the only person. Somebody out there right now is going, yeah, Tracy, I got your back on that. And other people are saying, man, you're such an idiot. So whatever camp you get into, yeah.
What else was I gonna say? Yeah, so Rey ends up hooking Rey and Finn end up hooking up with Han Solo and Chewbacca, and basically I'm trying to figure out why they Rey ends up getting captured, and so Finn divulges to like Han and Leia, like, "Hey, I want to go save Rey. I know how this base is laid out. I actually used to be a stormtrooper." And so he kind of gives them the lay of the land and kind of explains to them how things are set up. And, essentially this newer, Empire base almost has the same kind of like destruction capability of the Death Star, like where they could just blow away a planet. Although the technology is a little bit different, it was the same idea. And so, they're trying to figure out, all right, how do we disable this thing? And so basically, Finn helps them, go to the new Empire base. They save Rey. They take down, the weapon, and a couple of other things kind of happen in between that. But again, we don't want to give you the whole book, but.
Yeah. And as a whole, the original movie series. Harrison Ford was Han Solo. Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker. Carrie Fisher, you know, was Leia. Those are the three main characters in the first series. The next one, the three, is Adam Driver is Kylo Ren. He's a quote new Darth Vader. Daisy Ridley is Rey, and John Boyega, I think that's how you mean it, Boyega, is Finn. I want to say this, the three new actors in this, I believe, are way better actors than at that time Harrison Ford, Mark Hamill, and Carrie Fisher. Harrison Ford was probably a push, but Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher were okay as actors, you know, through them, but the three new ones, I think, are on. This is more to the movie than the book, but they're on as actors, I believe. Quality of actors, I think they're a little step up.
Well, I even think even as characters in the book, as the story as a whole, I thought they were like solid characters. They weren't like Jar Jar Binks or anything, you know?
Yeah, exactly. This is basically this generation's A New Hope. It's almost A New Hope. So it's this generation. So it's kind of the same thing here or there. So good story. You know, there's going to be more. I'm just thankful Disney didn't really Jar Jar Binks this thing up, and they didn't, and I'm really happy about that.
Yeah, I would definitely say if the series are kind of broken down into threes, obviously you have The New Hope, Strikes Back, and Jedi, and then you have The Phantom Menace, and I don't remember the name of the other two now, but Sith's Revenge of the Sith, and the other one. But yeah, this one that just came out is way better than the last three that came out, for sure. So I thought it was a great step in the right direction.
Exactly. I'm going to give this one an 8. Could have been a little better, but it's a one that's a definite you should go out and grab.
Yeah, I would give it 8.5 or something. It was definitely good. Like I said, the story was great. The sound quality of this book was awesome. I love all they kind of had like voice actors and stuff in it. Usually the Star Wars books are always kind of above and beyond normal audiobooks. Nine times out of 10, they're all like voice acting, which is kind of cool. It's a little more like dramatized with sound effects, and you hear the laser blasts and the ships flying and stuff. So that's pretty cool.
Exactly. Any last thing about the book before we continue on?
I think that's it.
Perfect. Before I forget, the next book we're going to cover is one that somebody told us they wanted us to read. A recommendation was The Count of Monte Cristo by Alexandre Dumas, who also wrote Three Musketeers. So that's going to be the next one, The Count of Monte Cristo. This is one I've never read before. So I've heard of it, but... little teaser, I'm glad I did. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say on that. But you'll have to come in next week to find out what about that. But another thing is, we got 3-4 emails in from people basically saying, thank you. This is finding it. Basically, I'm paraphrasing, everybody's here. Thank you for doing this. You guys are doing great. You're filling a little niche here that they kind of wanted. So thank you for everybody for writing in. Yeah, so it was nothing dramatic. Didn't really questions or anything like that. Just kind of a thanks for here and there. So cool. Well, that's it. I hope everybody enjoyed this. If anybody has any questions, comments, concerns, just email me at tracy@podnuts.com. If you want to go to Jonathan, just say, hey, throw this over to Jonathan, and I'll forward it right to Jonathan. And if you just hate me and just want to skip me altogether, well, just email Dor, Steve McLaughlin, and then he'll give it over to Jonathan if you want them. So, again, we're going to do this 2 weeks in a row here now. Do not talk to Steve McLaughlin. Matter of fact, if he asks you a question, just ignore him. Just ignore him for about 10 minutes. And then answer him. So yeah, why? Just, well, because. That's it. So that's it. I want to thank everybody for listening and for downloading and taking your time out of your busy weeks for this podcast here. So everybody have a good week, and I'll see you next week.
And don't forget to go to Amazon, podnuts.com/Amazon.
Thanks, everybody.